Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Let's talk about anti-Semitism, shall we? Let's just talk about increased anti-Semitism in the United States and in the UK. And joining me is Stefan Silverman, who is a director of investigations and enforcement. Good morning, Stefan. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
An increase in the United States and the UK of anti-Semitic incidents. Do we have figures on that, on what the statistics are?
So clearly, our focus is predominantly on what is taking place in the UK, but we understand that in New York City, anti-Semitic incidents in 2024 increased by 7% from the previous year. Now, if you look at what's happened in the UK, at the beginning, so there has been steadily rising anti-Semitism since the Israel-Hamas conflict of 2014.
Yes.
It didn't subside after hostilities ceased, and it continued to rise and was exacerbated by the anti-Semitism crisis in the Labour Party under the leadership of Jeremy Corbyn. Which brings us to the beginning of October 2023, when the Home Office released figures that showed that the Jewish community in the UK, despite only making up less than 0.5% of the population, was 6 times more likely than any other faith to be the victims of hate crime. A few days after those figures were released, Hamas carried out its atrocity in Israel. New figures were released in the October that's just gone. They show that Jews are now 12 times more likely than any other faith group to be the victims of hate crime. So basically it has doubled in the course of the year since the 7th of October 2023. In other words, instead of that horrendous, barbarous attack being a cause for people to reflect, decide that enough was enough, and try to take action against it, for many, it acted as a starting gun for a campaign of anti-Semitic hatred, the like of which is unprecedented in this country.
How do we understand this? Because what you're doing is you're making a victim, and I really hate thinking of the Jewish community as victims, but you know, I just don't think that the narrative works. But how do you take the victim and victimize them again? You know,
well, look,
death to Israel, death to Jews. I mean, that was within a week in Australia at that protest outside the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah, I remember it well.
Yeah,
I remember it well.
Death to Jews. Like, how do we understand this, Stefan?
Well, I think what makes it difficult is that there is no one single cause. I think, you know, it cannot be stated strongly enough that for those who have long harbored hostility towards the state of Israel and towards Jews in general, for them, this was the green light. And so, you know, this was the moment they've been waiting for. Additionally, there are people for ideological reasons who have got on board with this. People have made bad decisions in terms of how to deal with it for political reasons. And most worryingly of all, I think, is there is a vast demographic of young people in the 18 to 24-year-old age group who want to espouse a cause that makes them feel good about themselves, look for something that enables them to, they feel, to sit atop the moral high ground. They pick up the narrative about what is happening between Israel and Hamas that is prevalent on social media, and then they become radicalized themselves. And we carried out a survey towards the end of last year of British attitudes towards Jews. And wherever there were deeply troubling results, such as people believing it was wrong to proscribe Hamas as a terrorist group, people who believe that Israel has no right to defend itself against his enemies, wherever the general public held those views. The figures for the 18 to 24-year-old age group were significant, very significantly worse in that they were higher. So we have a serious problem, not just today, but coming down the line at us for at least another generation.
Somebody has actually just sent me an article about Jews banned in the Melbourne CBD. It's been a no-go zone for Jews on Sundays. I mean, it's just it this really it just doesn't make sense. And you know, if you're talking about human rights, then it's completely hypocritical because nobody was shouting about Assad while he was murdering his people. Hundreds of thousands of his people, women and children, put into jails. Where are the human rights organizations? Where are the human rights organizations when you talk about the Uyghur in China and what China's doing to the Uyghur? It's so hypocritical. And you know what? I just think that it's dishonest.
Well, I mean, you are, of course, absolutely right. And, you know, and we can add to that the huge losses of life that have been incurred in Yemen, in Sudan. And if you look at, you know, what the Taliban in Afghanistan are doing to women there, you know, why is it? It is reasonable to ask, why is it only when the Jewish state defends itself an enemy that is actually genocidal, that people come out onto the streets in Barcelona? And it's not just the protests. This has pervaded every walk of life in the UK. It's hit education, the legal profession. It's massively hit healthcare. The NHS is massively problematic, and
Stephen,
it's resulted.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but we actually that's where we have to leave it. I want to have this conversation with you because I, you know, and try and get some kind of understanding, but I'm not sure that that it's something that I'm ever going to be able to resolve. But I want to just thank you so much for your time this morning, just to have this conversation and at least let us start the discourse. That's Stephen Silverman, who is a director of investigations and enforcement at the. No, let me start that again. Stephen Silverman, director of investigations and enforcement for the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism.